Okay. We good to go? This could all go horribly wrong because I'm involved with technology. Yep, told you. Sorry, for those of you in the back, I've just got caught up.
Have you got pocket to stick?
It is. No, the horn. Oh. You shouldn't mock the afflicted. It's not very... I'm going to give you... Later, Paul, you'll have plenty of opportunity to mock me, so don't worry. Right, this is about milk and meat, okay? And just so that you know, Anna and I are going to share about some meat that we've been looking at, sort of thing, but I'm going to sort of set the scene for it first. And so I'm starting with this bit from Hebrews 5, where it says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. I thought it was Paul, but apparently they're not sure whether it was Paul that wrote to the Hebrews, but whoever wrote it was not happy. Okay. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, verse 12, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Okay, so it's talking about moving towards maturity. Okay, and it's clear that we should become mature Christians, not just older Christians. You've heard us talk about that sort of thing before. And he's quite strong, the writer, in his assertion. Basically saying, if you don't move forward in your Christian life, you're just like a child. Yeah? You've stopped at the basics, you know the basics, and you've not moved on. You're just like a child. And that in order to be mature, we need to train ourselves to distinguish between good and evil. Okay? That's basically what he was saying. So, if we have to train ourselves, it's obvious it is going to take effort. Okay? I don't know if you follow Kerry, but Kerry started with a couch to 5K, and her early talking about it was like, I might die. Okay? But it took effort. I was thinking much more prosaic. Any of you ever tried eating a lobster? Okay, that takes effort. Honestly, fiddling about with that. Anyway, but things, you know, to get to a goal often takes effort. And Hebrews, just a bit later, in 6:12, it says, we do not want you to become lazy. So it's obvious it's going to be an effort. If you can be lazy in it, you've got to do an effort to actually achieve it. And it's very easy to get stuck in a basic level. You get stuck because, well, it doesn't require perseverance. It doesn't require any effort. And it doesn't take too much thinking. You know, if you stay at the lowest level, it doesn't take much effort. So, he was saying, to reach maturity, you've got to actually persevere to distinguish good from evil. It's quite obvious you need someone to teach you. The inference being it's not going to be him or her, whoever wrote it. Right? I did that at the beginning. I am not going back to the beginning. I am not doing it again. You should be growing up. You should be growing towards maturity. You need to take responsibility. Yeah? Someone will have to take you back to the beginning. But I think you should have moved on. So they've got to take responsibility. He's got no intention of going back. It's like moving from, you know, you get those... I did look for a grown-up in a high chair waiting to be fed. You get some very odd pictures if you Google that on the internet. Okay? All the ones I saw, I refused. No, I wasn't going there. Very odd pictures. But it's like a baby bird. You know, you get those pictures and they're going, feed me, Okay. That's the sort of image you need in your mind. When we start as Christians, that's where we are. It's not feed me, I need to know, and I know to soak up the basics, etc. But little babies grow up and eventually they have to get out the nest and find their own food, their own nourishment, otherwise they will die. So, effort, taking responsibility. If we do that, if we are discipled, if we follow sort of the route of taking responsibility, putting the effort in, it's not my iPad, which makes me, okay. And it's going to bring about an internal change. If you become mature, you are not the same at the end of the process as you were at the beginning of the process. Spiritual training changes us. We are able, because we have trained, because we have changed, to distinguish good from evil. Okay? And then there's external results. If we are mature, it says, you ought to be teachers. Right? So there's an external result in us becoming mature. It is not saying you should all be able to preach the word. Okay, it's not expecting that. For some people it is, but it's not for everybody. But it is about being in a position where you can then mentor or disciple somebody who is not as mature as you are, that are less mature than yourselves. So if you throw up your hand saying, it's too difficult for me to move forward, or chased after maturity, I'm sorry, but this passage says that's just not good enough. That's just not good enough. Not about beating you up, but it's about an expectation. There should be a desire to move forward, to move on, to become more mature, not just older, more mature, which is why sometimes words of wisdom come out of Luke's mouth. It's not about his age, but it's about sometimes a level of maturity. Sometimes things come out of his mouth, oh, not mature. But that's fine as well, because that doesn't matter what any age. You know from some of the things my mum says, that, you know, maturity doesn't necessarily bring wisdom. But it is about saying I find this way of accessing greater maturity is easier than that way. That's fine. But you need to be accessing maturity. You need to become mature. One of the ways we can come mature is to know the word of God. It's not the only thing. There are other things as well. But one of the things, and that's what we're particularly looking at, is about knowing the word of God. So I've got a little activity, okay, for you to start with. Okay. Have you had a period of time in your life when you have got a lot from reading the Bible? Right. Have you had a period of time in your life when you have got a lot from reading the Bible? Okay, so if you're with your spouse, turn and talk to somebody who isn't, and just tell each other stories to encourage each other when you have got a lot out of, or if you haven't, maybe the person beside you has got a story to tell you. Okay, I'm going to give you two, three minutes. We're not going to take feedback, it's just you sharing with each other. No, I try very hard not to do teacher's voice. Except when I'm really cross. Okay then, right. What's important is that there is no right or wrong way of accessing the Bible. There is just the way that suits you best at this time. Okay, so it's not even as if there's a right way, and once you've Once you've found it, you may stay with it. Once you've found it, you may find that's just for a time that that's the best way for you. But there's no right and wrong way. And Anna and I are going to tell you two different ways of accessing the Bible, which probably are at one end of the continuum and at the other end of the continuum. They are very different ways of accessing the Bible. Anna.
Right, so I'm speaking to you about Ignatian prayer. Has anyone tried Ignatian prayer? Yes, Dave? Ooh, that's the first question I'm answering. So Ignatius was a Spaniard born in 1491, and he came up with this method then, which has kind of been, you know, used in different ways, but it has stood the test of time. And I think a way for accessing the Bible that stood the test of time is probably a good thing. So it's proved its worth. So Ignatius was a soldier, and he became a monk around the age of 30. So he was quite a young man. If you're anything like me, I look back at these old methods and I think, oh, they must be old-fashioned. But actually, he was a young man when he came up with this. And then throughout his life, he applied the Ignatius exercises to lots of people that came to see him. And like I said, they're still around today, so they must be worth doing. It tries to capture a more intuitive understanding of the Bible. And it's the same way that the New Testament writers used the Old Testament. So if you read Paul's letters, he uses the Old Testament, he quotes from it, but obviously he hadn't gone to Bible college. He was just using it in the way that the Spirit told him to use the Old Testament. And in modern times, particularly after the Renaissance, we've come to think that each Bible verse has a particular understanding and means one single thing. And if we kind of dig deeper and learn lots and use a Bible commentary, we'll come to this single understanding of that Bible verse. And so moving into postmodern times, where there's been a movement back to how the early Christians looked at their Old Testament, and much more intuitive, letting the Spirit speak through each verse to you in that individual place and time and making it really relevant. So that's the kind of rationale behind it. So we're using the Spirit, and that is important. We're not just kind of reading it and making it up for ourselves, thinking, oh, this is what this means. It is inviting the Spirit to speak through that verse. Okay, so I chose Ignatian prayer because I kept hearing about it. I'd been using Celtic daily prayer for about 7 years, so you can ask me about that as well later if you wanted to. But I just got to this point and I kept hearing it on podcasts, kept hearing in books people talking about Ignatian prayer and what it meant to them. It moved them on a lot. And so eventually I thought, oh, I've got to try this for myself. And at that point I came across a book. It was just the right time, explaining how to use it. So there's three stages in Ignatian prayer. Do you think this is going off? Okay. So the first thing that you do, I think this is why Carol will be talking about something that's less formulaic in a minute. But first thing you do is center and focus on God. And then you do a review. And then there's the Ignatian reading. So I'm going to talk you through each of those. I just need to get my tablet going. It is coming. Right. So the first thing is this centering, and I've brought some examples of what I've used for centering. So there are things that you can hold using your senses to try to focus on God. So I've used this wooden cross, which really struck me when I first started using it as being handmade. And that made me think somebody had to make Jesus's cross that he died on. You know, that was real, and it brought it back to me how real it was. I also have this nail that could have been used to pierce Jesus. I've used some artwork. I'm hoping you can hand this round without anyone pressing the buttons. Try this. Right, this is Rembrandt's picture of the prodigal son, the return of the prodigal son. So the idea is that you look at this and, you know, picture yourself as one of the characters, perhaps. So I'll start that at the back. I'm going to pass that on. And then the last one, which has been actually the most fruitful for me, was this old bottle of perfume. And I used this at Epiphany just after Christmas. And it brought really strong images of how it would have been for Mary in the stable when the frankincense arrived with her. Suddenly the smell that she'd only ever associated with the temple, only ever associated with holiness, was there in the stable with her and baby Jesus. And how that would have been so strong with her senses, feeling that this was a, you know, something special. This baby was special. Here was this holy kind of smell. So I'll let you pass that round. Do you want the lid? So they may mean nothing to you, or they might give you some kind of hints. Oh, this does do something for me. Smell is meant to be a really strong one, isn't it? So the idea of using our senses is to make it more real, to focus on God and to make it very tangible to us. And I would say that has definitely worked for me. It sets the scene for your imagination that I've already mentioned we'll be using a little later. And it starts your conversation with God, ready for the next stage, which is the review questions. So the idea of the review, depending on what time you do this, is either looking back through the day already that you've had, if you're doing this in the evening, or I tend to do it morning time, so I'm looking back on the previous day. And all of us do review. I'm sure I'm not the only one that goes to bed at night and thinks back of the day and what went wrong and what happened and worrying about the future. So review is very natural, and all this is doing it with God. So once you've kind of centered and you're thinking about Jesus and God, then you move on to your review. So the questions you ask are, what makes you smile about the previous day? And I use a notebook to jot down. Then you ask, what makes you grimace? Kind of a bad feeling about the day. Then thankful, something that's happened that you're pleased for, you're grateful for. And then these two are ashamed of, and then proud of. So I got a little bit lost with these questions when I first started doing this, but what I came to find is these two are kind of external. So they're things that other people did or other situations external to me that I had no control over that made me happy or made me sad. And then these two are internal, things that I did and I triggered that I either feel ashamed of, I regret doing, and then that I feel proud of. And I've also changed the order. So this is something you could do. You're going to get a handout, by the way, with all of this on. I wanted to finish on a positive, and a positive that was something to do with God rather than kind of finishing on a sense of pride. So I moved that question down. But again, that would depend on you, and I would encourage you to try different orders. You might want to try these two first, and then kind of move to the more external as you go through it. So after you've done this for, I would say only now I'm starting to see patterns just this week. So maybe I've done this 10 weeks, maybe longer, maybe 3 months I've been doing this. And the idea is that if, as you keep answering these questions about your day, you'll see patterns and you'll see what's giving you life, what makes you smile. You'll see patterns of things that you're doing wrong. You know, if it's the same thing all the time that you're feeling regretting, that you're regretting and feeling ashamed of, then you'll see that and start to work on that. So there's a real depth to it. And then the final section is the Ignatian reading itself. So that's kind of the big part. So there's a plan that I'm following, and the book that I have got is on my Kindle, and it only costs $3.95, I think, so it's quite, and it lasts for 30 weeks, this plan of readings, and it will certainly take me longer than 30 weeks because I don't manage it every day. So you get a passage, usually a whole chapter, so there's quite a bit of story in it. You read it aloud, slowly, and then you use your imagination to enter that scene. And this is where you've already got the Spirit with you. So you're not you know, making it up and what you want to happen. It's about inviting the Spirit to come and speak to you, to enter with you into that. It's worth thinking about the translation that you use. Something too literal can be kind of hard to get your imagination going. But actually, the other end of the scale, if you're used to reading the Message, I think Eugene Peterson has already done all the work for you if you read the Message. too imaginative already. So probably somewhere in the middle, the NIV or the NLT I use, because NIV I think I've got too familiar with, so I'm using the NLT at the moment. So something in the middle that you can use your imagination with, but it hasn't done all the work for you already. You imagine yourself as a character in the story or in the scene, and then as you explore that scene, you think about what would you say, what would you do, and what would you ask God about that scene? And you explore your feelings. And this is really where the riches are, I would say, in this method. It's really where you push in with God and try to understand what's happening. So Ignatius had two terms for what you may experience. The first is consolation. And that's where you find something in the passage that's really good and it just speaks to your heart and you think, wow, that's amazing, God. You know, I really see your love. I really see your goodness in that. It's fantastic. So that's the consolation. And I would say this week I was reading Psalm 27 and there's a picture of God putting you on a ledge and keeping you safe. And that week, this week, that has really spoken to me. I've just thought, wow, that is so wonderful. And then I also experienced that in Genesis 1, verse 2, the Spirit of the God hovering over the earth. And I had a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit wanting to get going and get going with creation, and was really exciting at that point. You know, I think we often think the Holy Spirit brooding was quite ominous, but it was a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit having energy and just being so excited. And then the other term, so we've got consolation. The other term is desolation. And this happens to me more often, I have to say. It's when you find something in the passage, you're imagining it, and it just feels wrong. Why is God killing all these people? Why? I find in the Psalms it says, all your ways are good, God. And I think to myself, actually, God, you know what? I don't think that. There's so much suffering in the world. What's going on here? And when you push into those particular feelings and experiences and really start to question God and try to understand him, that's really profound. They're the answers that you start to get at that point. So a good example of that is 2 Samuel 24. God tests David, and David fails the test, and then he punishes David. And it seems so unfair, because God seems to have set it up for David to fail. And then as a result, God kills 70,000 because David gets it wrong. So I was really questioning this. Why on earth has this happened, God? What were you about here? And you see that actually he builds up to it. The Israelites and David were putting their faith in their numbers, not in God. And God gave them warnings, and eventually this happened. So I wouldn't say I completely resolved it, but, you know, if you push in and try to see, I think imagining myself as the different characters, even trying to imagine myself as God and what was happening, yielded some results there. So to sum up, what are the negatives and what are the positives? The negatives are it takes a while. The book I'm using suggests you spend an hour on this every day. I don't manage an hour, but I could get to about 40 minutes. And I would say less than half an hour, you're struggling to get through all of this. You're kind of just ticking it all off rather than really grappling with it. So what I've found is rather than doing it first thing, which I used to do, I need to get some things done on my to-do list first, because you're using your imagination. You've got to have a kind of an empty brain in order to get there in your imagination. If you've got lots of things you're trying to remember, that's not very helpful. And the other negative I've ended up with, the book I'm using is the Old Testament. And I think Ignatius initially started with the New Testament. So for some reason or other, I've ended up with the Old Testament first, which is the right order, I guess. But it's maybe more challenging. I think there's more challenging kind of things that God says and kills more people in the Old Testament. So the positives are that you face up to some really tough and hard ideas. And it is a really good and safe way. You're with the Holy Spirit taking you through these challenging ideas. It's also incredibly memorable. If you asked me, because you're using your imagination and engaging your senses, if you just asked me now, how did you feel about a particular passage, I probably could tell you, even though I've read about 30 of these so far, because they just sticks in your mind because you're giving it that extra time to think about it. It's not like a reading that you just go through quickly and move on. You stay with it and you understand the characters and you understand the motivation. So it really brings it alive that way. And the other positive is that I think it's something that you could do in a group or a a couple, or you could do together with somebody else, because you could come together and say, I'm still struggling with this. This didn't quite make sense. So there's kind of the possibility of that as well. You can do it on your own or do it in a group. So as I said, there'll be a sheet at the end which has got all these instructions on it and the link to the book. And I need my cross and my nail back. You got them?
Happen to.
Yeah.
So we're going to go from one extreme to the other now. As I said, one end of the continuum, other end of the continuum. Yeah, it's grown, multiplied. So I'm looking from Romans 10:12, where it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And hearing God's word builds our faith. And hearing, when it says, and hearing by the word of God, if you hear the word of God, you grow in your understanding. Okay, so it's about literally hearing the word of God and growing in understanding. And this is what I use. Or not.
Do you want to press one?
Anyway. It's called... I'll let the fiddling.
During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
So, mine is about listening and hearing. And as I said, it's...
You're looking for the apple corn.
Am I? This one. Oh, yes.
Wine, sorry. Says
okay. This is an app that's called Bible IS. Or Bible is, and it's a free app. I think you can purchase other bits, etc. And I've been listening to an American version because I didn't read all the way through the list and didn't realise it was an anglicised version. So some of my negatives about it being sort of odd pronunciations is irrelevant because you can get an anglicised version. As I said, me and technology, not there. And what I do is I listen to 5 chapters a day. Sometimes it's more. If they're really, really long, like some of the ones in Samuel, they might be slightly less. But generally, it's about chapter. And I alternate between a New Testament book and an Old Testament book. And I do it because every other method I've ever found, I'm really, really good to start with. It's like New Year's resolutions. I'm really, really good. So every time I decide I'm going to read my way through the Bible, I always start somewhere else because I know I've never have got as far all the way through it in one go, etc. So I always like pick some random place to start. And I give up. It just goes by the wayside. Whereas this, I do. Right? I listen to my 5 chapters a day. It suits me because I do it as I get ready. Now, I'm not a listening person. I think I've listened to... David. Snorting. Yes. If I shut up long enough, I might listen to something. But I don't know what I meant is, I think I've listened to 4 podcasts in my life. It's not what I do, sort of thing. So I'm really surprised that listening to the Bible actually works for me, because it seems counterintuitive. I don't like listening to things. I don't access things by listening. I'd much rather read them. And then suddenly comes to Bible reading and I'm much better listening to it. A cloister would really, really suit me, because my ideal is to walk without looking and read something or listen to something, yeah? And a cloister's good because you don't trip over things and walk into lampposts and stuff like that. But that whole reading thing gets turned on its head when I've got my iPad, because I will listen to it, and I listen to it, and I listen to it as I'm getting ready. I'm somebody who has to be dry. I'm better at praying when I'm in the car. I'm one of these people who, if I'm physically occupied, I'm actually much better at listening to something. And I tend to use this Bible app when I'm getting up and getting ready and doing my stretching exercises and going out and all those sorts of things. And it's there, and I'm listening to it. And for me, I find it gives me like an overview of the books. It's no good for study. Well, it's not true. You can get it so you can get the text to come up as well as it reads through. But I actually find it better to have it just the words. So it's not something for study. And I know you're going to say, but surely sometimes doesn't that just sort of wash over you like sort of background noise? And the answer is, yes, it does. It does wash over me like background noise sometimes. But more often, what I will find is that in listening to it, I think, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that married up to that in that book, which is something I find in much more, because you're getting this big overview of things rather than that concentration on a very small passage. You're getting this sort of big view, and it's not very time. I've got no idea how long my five chapters takes. It probably only takes about 10 minutes or something like that. But it just, you know, between thinking about it and stuff like that. And my view when it washes over me is there are certain things you can do. One, you can go just whiz it back and go and listen to it again. And sometimes I let it wash over me because it's a really boring bit of the Bible, okay? I mean, I have to hold my hand up. There are some boring bits. And sometimes I wash over me because I actually truly believe that if God's word goes out, it doesn't return void. My view is that sometimes you take things in and you don't realise that you've taken them in until you suddenly use that piece of information. And I find that with the Bible, that sometimes I wasn't necessarily consciously listening, but sometimes I find myself thinking. So I noticed the other day I was going through Samuel, listening to it, and I suddenly went back to where we were talking about Samuel before, and that thing about what have you got in your hand. So it brings back those sorts of memories to you. As I said, it's, you probably could use it for study if you had the things up, but I don't think it's the ideal thing for study as such. I think it's about listening to the Word of God and absorbing the Word of God rather than studying the Word of God. So the advantages, as far as I'm concerned, is that it gives you that broad picture, okay? It's free. I think there are add-ons that you can buy for it. I think you can get some add-ons where you get some quite famous people. Naturally, right, I was talking to David yesterday where I was trying to see if we could download this, etc. He said, oh, right, they're hearing the word of God. You met the people who did these recordings. Why does he know these people? Honestly, it really irritates me. sort of thing, you know, you're there happily thinking you've discovered something. Oh, shut up. Yeah, you know, like you're just happily going along thinking you've discovered something new and know if he's been there and knows them and things. And apparently I have met them. I don't remember. Not that necessarily for anybody here, but you can get it in different languages. Okay, so you can hear it, you know, so maybe if you're doing Spanish, or, you know, stall or something, you might want to listen to it in Spanish as well. It has drama clips in it. It's got some clips from the Jesus video in there as well. And the advantage I have of not seeing it in the text, this doesn't reflect well on me, but I don't know about you, when you're reading a physical Bible, you think, oh, blimey, there's masses of lamentations still to go, etc., when you're reading it, yeah, and sort of thing. So you don't get that, because basically it just goes, you know, this is, you know, 1 Samuel chapter 5, and then it goes on to, and you've got no idea how much more you've got of Samuel, because you're not looking at it, you're just listening to it, sort of thing. So an advantage there's an advantage that's also a disadvantage. It could be the same thing at the same time, is that you don't get distracted down dirt tracks. If I'm reading, I will see something and I'll go off and I find out, well, I don't really know what that means, and I go off down a dirt track and I go down another one, sort of thing. Now, I'm not saying that's bad, which is why it's a disadvantage and an advantage, because it's a disadvantage because sometimes that's really good for you because it sends you off in other directions and you find out other things and it relates to other bits of the Bible and all those sorts of things. But it's also an advantage because rather than keep stopping, which is what often happens when I'm reading, is you do get this flow through that's going in what you're listening to. And the most important thing for me is that it's not a program, so you don't feel guilty when you don't do it. Yeah, all the other sorts of, you know, reading the Bibles in a year and all those sorts of things is I start well and then I don't do it for a week and I think, oh, it's a random week, and then it just sort of fades away and you feel guilty because you haven't done it, etc. This you can set up. You might decide that you are going to spend 4 hours listening to it, and that's fine. You might decide you're going to go all the way through the Old Testament. You might decide you're going to do just one chapter a day. You're setting it up for yourself. It's what suits you. And I think the most important thing is I am doing it, and I am still doing it, and it's not a chore to do it for me. As you can see, I could appreciate that. I could do it for a while, but it's not something that's going to get me reading big chunks of the Bible in that sense. And I do that sort of study sometimes, and I will go away, as you know, I sometimes go down to Hillfield, and I will spend time in that sort of thing. But on a day-to-day basis, listening to it as I get up in the morning and as I get ready on my iPad, so I carry it with me wherever I'm going. There is a podcast, because you can't listen to a podcast in the shower, okay, and stuff like that on your earphones. To carry it with me, and I'm doing mundane things that don't involve my brain, and I'm listening to the Bible at the same time, because that is very good for me. So you can see, we've gone through two very, very different ways of accessing God's word that is working for both Anna and I at this time. Anna was saying that she doesn't know how long, you don't know how long you might carry on doing this.
No, sort of, you'll get through the 30 weeks.
No. Reassess. Then reassess. My view is, mine is about listening to the whole Bible, mainly because I was challenged. I've got a feeling it was Chiquita. I might be wrong. I was walking past and I heard Chiquita say that she'd read the Bible through last year and you were going to start again or do something else. Whether
over 2 years.
Yeah, right, over 2 years. That's right. Okay. And I was thinking, oh, I really ought to do that. And I knew there's no point of me going to a Bible reading plan in a year. Been there, not done that, on numerous occasions. So I was looking around for something else and I found this app, and as I say, that has been working for me. I mean, there was been a week when my Wi-Fi was being very hissy fitty. Brenda, do you think my mum's just going to be delivered? Do you think you'll go? It's right, sorry, yeah, just so she's not out there on her own. I forgot what I was saying now. I was distracted by my mother arriving, as she does. Oh, yeah, my Wi-Fi wasn't working. So there's a whole week when I didn't do it, you know. And if I get up and I'm going out really fast, I don't do it. But I do it more often than I don't, and it's something that's working for me. So I've got a question to leave you with. Two very different ways of accessing God's word at this time for us. The takeaway for you is, have you found a method that is working for you at the moment? I know that at the moment is a very important part of the thing, because it isn't one thing for all time. But if you haven't found something, then I do encourage you to find something that helps you access God's word, whether it's something where you download it and play in the car, whether it's something you study, whether it's a reading plan. You know what your personality is like, okay, and what does and doesn't work for you, and find something that does help you. Because going back to the original reading, it's about growing into maturity. And as I said, for me, it's only about 10, 15 minutes as you're getting up, because it's going there in the background. We're going to wrap up, but Has anybody got any questions for Anna or I about it? Or hers or mine or whatever? I haven't got a handout because mine's audio. And you can look at the app yourself. But Anna has got, you're getting started with Ignatian prayer and going through the steps, etc. So, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna.